listening, friends. It's Tuesday, January 29th, 2013. Easy work for me today as we're continuing yesterday's conversation with Brandon J. O'Brien, who is editor-at-large for Leadership and is completing his doctorate in theological studies at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. He is the author of The Strategically Small Church, and his new book he's co-authored with E. Randolph Richard, titled Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes, Removing Cultural Blinders to Better Understand the Bible. Well, thank you, Brandon, for staying with us and continuing with this edition of Mark and Friends, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And I know yesterday we didn't quite leave our listeners on a cliffhanger, but I was hoping they would tune back in because I think you have so much to share about your new book, Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes, Removing Cultural Blinders to Better Understand the Bible. And I know yesterday you shared a little of your faith journey and coming to Christ and having a wonderful family and then people speaking truth, professors and people guiding you into the scriptures, though you had many questions. And the great thing about God is he's so awesome and omniscient and all-powerful. He's not challenged. He doesn't get embarrassed that we have a question. He doesn't fluster, oh, how am I going to answer this? Because of his goodness, because of his character, we can just trust ourselves to him when we waffle, when we misunderstand things. It's like he's not bothered by us questioning, like, God, I don't understand this virgin birth and how you came as a man. He delights to take us through that learning, that understanding. And then always, because of the mystery of the Godhead, there will always be that sense of us just having to have faith in him. But he's good, and he doesn't shy away from us because we have questions. So we talked a little about that yesterday, and that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org. But in our closing few moments, I said, hey, I also know that God orchestrated a unique adoption for you and your wife, something that you had worked on for some years. And I know we have lots of listeners that I think can be blessed by your decision to adopt and what led to that and how God was all over that. So before we start talking a little more about Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes, your new book, tell us a little of that adoption story.
Sure. Thanks again, Mark and Jason. It's great to be with you. I'm personally not great at making long stories short, but I will try. The journey to adoption for us was quite long. We spent a couple of years and a little longer trying to begin a family naturally, biologically, with no success. And then really had always felt like adoption would be part of our plan for growing our family, but we didn't think initially that it would be our plan for beginning our family. And we feel like God led us to sort of reversing the order of things and deciding that we would start the family through adoption. And that was one of those seasons, a season of about 4 years of waiting in different ways, when my wife and I really did ask a lot of questions from God, and we wondered why we knew people who had no problem, you know, becoming pregnant even when they didn't really want to, and while we were really expending a lot of energy and some expense, you know, trying to begin a family, it just didn't seem fair. And so we did a lot of questioning, a lot of soul searching, and always were reminded by the scriptures and by our church family that this is difficult, and but God is good. You know, we learned along the way that there are certain things that you can only learn about God through suffering, and we wondered from time to time if it was worth it. Maybe we wouldn't like to learn those things if this is the only way you can learn them. But we were just blown away that after about 2 years of waiting, we received a phone call on a Friday afternoon that little James David had been born, and if we were willing to accept him, that we could pick him up Monday morning. And so we did. After 2 years of waiting, we had, you know, a weekend to get ready. And it was a whirlwind of activity, to say the least. My wife had to go on maternity leave from her ministry position essentially overnight. But we learned in that process with a healthy, happy baby boy that, you know, that God really answered our prayers in ways that we couldn't have imagined. And now we wouldn't trade anything because we, you know, it was still painful for certain, and it still is to think back, but we see that God had a plan. And it's helped us to realize, I think, at a sort of spiritual level, this process of adoption has reminded us, you know, that each of us is God's adopted child, and that this experience that we've had of waiting for and welcoming Jamie home has really, I think, been kind of an illustration of God's love for us that, you know, Jamie is our adopted son and we are God's adopted son and daughter. And that's something I could never, I think, have articulated or fully understood without this experience. And so it's been a joy. He'll be 11 months old next week, and I'm still trying to figure out being a dad, but it's really great. It's a lot of fun. I think people prepare you for the hard work, but they don't tell you how great it's going to be. And it's just been a real privilege and real joy.
You had mentioned, I think, off air before we began the second session, about the dedications in the book. And obviously your son being adopted comes from what country?
He was a domestic adoption, but he's African-American. And so it's a cross-racial adoption.
Okay, and then the person who you co-authored the book with, there was a multicultural, or can you share that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, Randy, both of Randy's children are biological children, but they were both born while Randy and his wife were serving as missionaries in Indonesia. And so we found it sort of interesting after the fact that our children in some ways represent for us, you know, within our own families, different kind of cultural perspectives. Obviously, Jamie was 10 days old when he came home, and so he didn't have any sort of cultural perspective to speak of yet, but he will develop it as he begins to understand himself and his role in our family and the way others view our family and the way it came about. But Randy's children were very influenced by spending their formative early years in Indonesia. And so it's kind of an interesting, it's interesting that our families reflect this sort of grappling with culture and how it affects our worldview and our sense of the scriptures.
Now, in yesterday's program, you mentioned some of the things you hoped that people, that the readers would get from reading the book. But what was the catalyst? Like, did you and Randolph one day say, hey, let's just write a book on scripture and how we often misunderstand it or misread it or are influenced by our culture? What was the catalyst that brought you two together to pen this work?
Sure. Well, we had been in conversation for years, been friends for years, and Randy actually wrote an article, a presentation for a conference that he called Misreading Paul with Western Eyes. His dissertation and his area of specialization as an academic is in Pauline studies. And he had written this article, and he sent it to me as I'm an editor, and he wanted some editorial feedback and how to make it shorter. And I read through it and made some suggestions, and then in an email back I said, you know, this would make a great book if you, you know, expanded each of these points instead of being a paragraph, you make it a chapter and, you know, illustrate it with your experiences as a missionary, and, you know, this could be enormously helpful for people, and then expand it beyond Paul to, you know, the scope of the scriptures. And he emailed back and he said, a book's a great idea, let's do it. And I said, well, I didn't mean me, and I didn't mean now. I'm busy. But it just sort of from then on was in both of our on both of our hearts to pursue it, and it became a really interesting journey together again. Since we were once it was once my professor and now my colleague, it was a really great experience with him and in bringing this book into life.
Yeah, when I read through the book and I got a chance to go through it when that young girl handed me a copy and then when we got a copy from the press, but I noticed that there were some really good strong ties between the work that I've read by Kenneth Bailey, too. Kenneth Bailey having Reading Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, Reading Paul Through Middle Eastern Eyes, some different books there. How much did Kenneth Bailey's work, either Randolph or yourself, impact you guys?
Great question. I would say Randy is probably more familiar with Bailey's work. And at a certain level, we tried to not let it influence our approach, because we kind of come at it from the opposite direction. Instead of trying to explain in great detail how others interpret the scriptures through their cultural lens, we're really trying to help Western readers understand what they bring to the text that they may be unaware of. And we do that by way of contrast, obviously, to non-Western perspectives, but the emphasis is a little different. Rather than focusing on the non-Western eyes, we're trying to focus on the Western eyes. And so we certainly relied on his work for some particular, you know, specific insights, but on the whole tried to take kind of the opposite approach.
And I would say that by reading it, that's what I appreciated, is that you kind of land the plane in the fact that me as the Western person needs to own up to my position, my context, where I'm at culturally, and then needs to move from there. And in that, we'll find revelation. I think that what happens with, say, Bailey's work, because I've read most of it, is that we find revelation in Bailey's revelation. And we go like, wow, look at what he brought to the table. Wow. And it's not a revelation or that intimate revelation that we find when we read God's word with maybe, say, some of those blinders off that our culture has placed on it, when we are able to look at it from our context and allow it to speak to us here. The same as I think that, you know, people allowed throughout time scripture to speak to them culturally and contextually where they were at.
That's right. Yeah, and my academic credentials are as a church historian, and Randy's is in New Testament. And what I felt like was really great about the partnership is that his perspective is, you know, largely the sort of ancient biblical perspective, and then the contemporary one. And what I love about church history is that really all church history is a cross-cultural experience, because you hear Luther or you hear Calvin or you hear Athanasius or whoever read a passage and say, obviously, clearly, this passage means X. And you read it and go, huh, I would never have come up with that in a million years. By sort of identifying what they take for granted when they read, it helps me identify what I take for granted when I read. And so that historical experience sort of element that I feel like I brought to the project in identify, you know, having lots of practice by reading ancient Christians, older Christians, in identifying their blind spots helps me identify mine. And in fact, we quote C.S. Lewis in the book, who mentions that's the big appeal. That's why you should read older writers, not because they're smarter, but because they made different mistakes. And what they got right could instruct us, but also what they get wrong could instruct us. And so it's, you know, we want people to read the Bible better, but we also want them to be in conversation with, you know, living Christians from different cultures, but also past Christians from different ages to help them really begin to see what we take for granted as Westerners.
So do you think in the Western culture that we, because of, say, the advent of our connectedness, the internet, things like that, that we seek maybe a shallower pond instead of the deeper water? I would just say this, you're kind of ringing my bell, because I have a practice that once a month I go to a used bookstore that's in Bloomington Normal, and I buy three or four books, and they have to be pre-1930 authors. And my ministry has grown exponentially in my understanding of the word and my ability to do a lot of different things by reading Spurgeon, by reading Luther, by reading Francis Fuchs, by reading, you know, Schweitzer's Lordship of Christ. I mean, reading a breadth of work from maybe in an age where liberalism wasn't quite as profound and people didn't write a book solely questioning everything about God. Instead, they were trying to espouse who God was.
Sure. Yeah, well, I could easily get off track here, because I think part of the problem, part of the challenge, specifically for American Christians, not, I won't say all Western Christians, but specifically American ones, we have a really sort of, we have a strange view of history in that we tend to not be very historically aware, but often when we talk about our heritage and our history, we don't go back all that far. And so I know a lot of Christians who will say they're very committed to the evangelical heritage, and as far as they're concerned, that starts with, like, Billy Graham. Well, really, the evangelical heritage begins, you know, in the 1700s, Great Awakening, and even before that. And so, you know, there's a sense in which we have a really truncated view of history, and that our heritage is only 50 years old or 60 years old rather than, you know, 200 or 300 years old. And so I think, obviously expanding that helps to put us in perspective. When you hear people who call themselves evangelicals talking about certain issues in certain ways, you realize that a lot of what we think and do is sort of idiosyncratic today. I think that, you know, that's a kind of a general problem. You know, in the book we talk about less specifically about kind of modern issues and more about certain habits that can kind of lead us to misread the scriptures. And I think that historical one is one I might have liked to include. It did really fit in the overall scheme of the book. But we really emphasize more certain things that we're not even aware that we make certain decisions, and that's why they're dangerous. because we're unconscious of them. And so our effort is to try to help people become conscious of them, and then hopefully that can lead to making, you know, more conscious decisions about what the scriptures mean.
And the book we're talking about and the author that we have on the line is Brandon J. O'Brien. He co-authored this book with Randolph Richard. The book is called Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes, Removing Cultural Binders to Better Understand the Bible. And we highly recommend it. We hope that all of our listeners would purchase a copy, not only because it's a good read, but to support that little James of yours. You got to sell some of these books, so we highly recommend that.
You.
You can purchase it by going to ivypress.com, ivypress, that's InterVarsity Press. We have a lot of great friends up there, and we appreciate the fact that they've given us a couple books to give away over the air at the end of the broadcast. We'll have a call in. Don't call now, but those of you that can purchase a copy or multiple copies, it's a great one to have on your bookshelf, but much more to have in your hands reading, ivypress.com. And then search Misreading Scripture. Talk a little about above the surface, just below the surface, and deep below the surface.
Good. Yes. The way we sort of envisioned this discussion about culture is that often evangelicals especially talk a lot about worldview, but often what we talk about as worldview issues are issues that are obvious to us, you know, that we have a sort of Christian perspective versus a secular perspective. These are very obvious differences. The approach we take in the book is to say that culture is like an iceberg. Our worldview is like an iceberg. And the things that are above the surface, that are easily visible, and that we are quite aware of, tend to be the least important or the least dangerous parts of our worldview. But the further down an iceberg you go, the bigger it gets. You know, the vast majority of an iceberg is below the surface. And it's the part that sinks ships, that deep underwater part. And so in the book, it's divided into three sections. In the first section, we talk about cultural issues that are above the surface, that are easily identifiable, and that can cause some misunderstanding, but really once you're made aware of them, they're easy enough to identify because they're clear, they're above the surface. And then section two, we move just below the surface to some deeper cultural values, some cultural habits that are less easily detected, and because of that, they're more dangerous for our interpretation. And then the final section, we go deep below the surface to things that most of us just never even think about. And because of that, they can lead to deep misunderstanding. And they're the things, when we're made aware of them, we have a hard time admitting that we might be wrong. That's where, if you have a cross-cultural experience and you're in another culture, when you threaten those deep below the surface values, you assume, well, surely in this case, we're right and they're wrong, because they're so deeply part of us.
Let me also point out that you have a web page or a website. Maybe they can even friend you on Facebook, but I know if they go to BrandonJOBrien.com, they can pick up different resources, other things that you're doing. I think you blog or you post some things there. So tell us a little about what our listeners can find at BrandonJOBrien.com.
Sure. I blog there somewhat infrequently, but I do update the website there. There's a blog. There's also a link to or a page dedicated to Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes. If listeners want to hear more about that book, they can get some details there. I have a page dedicated to a previous book. And the thing that I find is often the most helpful is there's a contact page on the website. If someone has questions that come to mind after hearing this, they should feel free to email me, and I will eventually get back, or they can contact me there to talk about a speaking event or anything like that. So the website is a great place to find me online.
You know what, Brandon, just real in our closing minutes, there's two things I wanted to ask you. Hopefully you can cover for us. Number one is, I love the conclusion in the book where you offer you said that you guys reached out to a friend of yours who was Syrian, and for practical steps that they could take in terms of removing those cultural blinders. And the second one is really interesting. How much say do you and Randolph have in the cover of the book? Because Mark and I were really taken by it. And not only that, but looking up and reading through Psalm 32 and 33, which is kind of quoted on the cover there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your first question is, the conclusions, I'm afraid some people will find them frustrating because it's a little tongue-in-cheek, the three easy steps to removing cultural blinders, ? My Syrian friend said that, when I approached her about that we were having trouble making the book practical, she said, well, Americans want to have three easy steps. And she said, sometimes there just aren't three easy steps. And so it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek title. But what we want to do is we just want to prepare people for the fact that removing cultural blinders, becoming aware of them, and then eventually removing them is a process. It's not something that happens overnight. There aren't any shortcuts, and there aren't any easy ways to do it. What we hope will happen is that people will just deeply engage the scriptures, and by doing that and immersing themselves in the scriptures will become aware, more aware of the voice of the Bible and kind of letting it speak in its own cultural terms. So the conclusion, don't lose heart. There is guidance there, but it's not necessarily easy steps. And as for the cover, I wish we could claim greater input into the cover because people tend to really like it. I wish I could take credit for it, but that was the designers at IVP just did a fabulous job, and I think it's a very striking sort of visual representation of what we're getting at in the book. I'm asked fairly regularly if that's me on the cover. I don't think there's really any resemblance except that I wear glasses and so does the person on the cover, but it's not me, if anyone else is wondering.
Well, we have that book posted at our website, greatnewsradio.org, also on the Great News Radio Facebook page. I think on my personal page, too, I also posted it there. The book is entitled Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes. We highly recommend it. You can purchase multiple copies. That would certainly help by going to ivpress.com, ivpress.com, and just in their little search link, type in Misreading Scripture, and I think it'll be a great asset for your church library, for your personal reading, for maybe even a small group to go through it and talk about how oftentimes we do misread Scripture because of our Western eyes, because of our own bias or our own perspective or just our living environment. And how oftentimes we have blinders. Jason's giving me the sign. He's putting two little blinders up, I think, over his eyes. But if you missed a portion of today's or yesterday's broadcast, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, under our archive programs link. Well, thank you, Brandon, for carving out time and joining us on this, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me, Jason. Right now, the third caller at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. The third caller during the morning edition of Mark and Friends, and also when this re-airs in the evening at this point in the program, the third caller will receive a copy of Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes, Removing Cultural Blinders to Better Understand the Bible, written by E. Randolph Richard, and today's and yesterday's special guest on the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, Brandon J. O'Brien. And again, Brandon's website is Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N, J. O'Brien, B-R-I-E-N.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.